Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
The game is on the line, and I've only got a shot clock's worth of time to tell you about Subway's $6.99-foot-long deal. That's right. Order now in the Subway app and get any footlong on the menu for just $6.99. Fresh sliced deli meat, fresh crispy veggies. Ah, too much good stuff. Get it now on the Subway app. Any footlong for just $6.99. Use code 699FL now. Only here for a limited time. Redeemable at participating U.S. restaurants. Subway app, online orders only. Add-ons, additional plus tax. Additional fees apply on delivery. Excludes footlong snacks. Limited time.
Hey, hey. Do you remember when life was better somehow? And every TV sitcom theme sounded kinda like the one that I'm singing now. Schoolhouse Rockin', Just Say No, MTV and G.I. Joe, and Drinking from the Garden Hose. Now that we're older, stuff is just fading from memory. And no, it's not because we're all about to join AARP, but someone's gotta remember it all, be tore it up and fades away for good. So who's gonna save our generation? Are you gonna save our generation? Who will save Generation X?
Who will save Generation X is filmed before a live studio audience.
Hello and welcome to Who Will Save Generation X, the trivia game show that is dedicated to remembering, celebrating, and preserving all the wonderful qualities of Generation X through games, trivia, and friends. I am Zabe, your host, and today we are back with our next single-player edition of the show that we call The Home Game. This alternative format of the show gives you a chance to play at home, with a friend, or by yourself, as well as giving you your fix of Gen X trivia in between regular episodes of the show. Here's how we play. Each episode, we invite a special guest and let them set the benchmark score for you to try and beat. Each round, there's a different game for you to play. And at the end, you can compare your score with that of our special guest benchmark and earn your rank on the quiz.
Happy birthday!
Happy anniversary, everyone. This is our 4-year anniversary show. It's hard to believe that it's already been 4 years, but here we are. I am thrilled to say that this episode, we once again have a live studio audience joining us for this game and to celebrate the occasion. Our audience is made up of our Patreon supporters and former guests of the podcast. It's an exclusive group that we welcome to join us during the recording of the show. And it is one way that we show our gratitude to those who support the podcast through our Patreon account.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Look, the show would not exist without our Patreon supporters, so thank you for your generous donations to the show. Most podcasts never make a dime. In fact, most lose money. But I'm grateful to say that so far we are able to pay our own way for the production of the show. We hope to one day make this a career, and then we can give you episodes every week. But until then, we're happy to just see the podcast grow, and thank you to all of our friends who made the show possible and all the show friends that we made along the way. Thank you so much. A special shout out to the person that wrote that theme song that you heard, our special live studio audience theme song, Stephen Cox. Thanks for writing and performing that song. Okay, let's start the game. A special episode requires a special guest. And our guest this episode is making her long overdue appearance as a contestant on the show. She is our producer, our scorekeeper, and most important of all, our friend. Please welcome to the show, Robin. Hi, Robin. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, everyone. I'm so stoked about this. Super excited. We've wanted to do this for a long time.
Robin, say a little bit about yourself to our listeners. Please include what generation you're from and how you feel about setting the benchmark score for this episode.
So for those of you who don't already know, I am a millennial. I was born in 1991, and a lot of this stuff was shared to me by my parents.
I'm just checking my notes here. Okay, we let the millennial.
Just double checking on that.
I'm just kidding.
No, Zabe and I met through a mutual friend, and honestly, I'm a huge fan of pop culture in general, but have a huge place in my heart for Generation X pop culture because it's some of the best stuff that we've produced in America. I feel like, you know.
Some, huh? Some of the best. Some of the best stuff.
My generation has some good stuff too, Zabe.
All right.
I don't say this a lot, but I don't necessarily agree that every reboot is bad.
Blasphemer!
Okay.
We'll move along though.
let's agree to just stay friends and move on to the next part of the show. Okay. So listeners and audience, let's see if you can outscore our show producer, Robin, or see if you need to go back and refresh your memory of the cool stuff of your youth.
The Power
Struggle.
We open this episode with the game called The Power Struggle. And in this game, you need to name these five quick clips in the order that they are played. The clips are made of a combination of Gen X movies, music, TV shows, video games, or some other random stuff from our Gen X culture. If you get all five correct and in the correct order, then you will be bumped up an entire letter grade and rank at the end of the quiz. So think of it sort of as like an extra credit question to help you out with your score. If you don't know it right away, don't worry. We'll play the clip a few times during the episode. So listen close and see if you can solve the power struggle.
Actually, it's pronounced Miliwake, which is Algonquin for the good land.
I was not aware of that.
Follow my nose. It always knows.
Okay.
You know, Robin, we have all experienced moments in our lives when we just don't want to deal with other people's garbage. In those moments, we sometimes throw up our hands, roll our eyes, and just say, whatever. To honor this time-loved tradition of Generation X, if at some point during the episode that you feel apathetic about answering a question, you can use your whatever lifeline and give an appeal to the live studio audience that we have here tonight and ask them to give you a clue that could help you answer the question. So audience, be ready to give Robin a clue should she ask for it, and we'll see if our audience is quite clueless or not.
Whatever.
Robin, you only get one whatever lifeline per round, so use it wisely, and we'll give you a bonus whatever lifeline to use on the power struggle.
I will need it.
There are a total of 43 points available in this episode, so it's a bit of a supersized episode. So everyone, please keep track of your score, especially you, live studio audience, and we'll see how well you did versus our special guest benchmark at the end of the show.
Be quiet! I order you to be quiet!
Okay, that's quite enough chatting about it. Let's do it! It's time to see if you can save Generation X from being forgotten.
Round one.
Round one today is a game that we call...
Tag.
Yes, taglines blowing through my mind. In this game, I'll give you a tagline or slogan from a popular Gen X movie, and you need to tell me the movie that it's the tagline from. A good movie tagline should be a quick glimpse into the plot of the movie, and that should give you the clues that you need to figure out each movie here. There are three movies to name in this game. Each correct answer is worth 3 points if you know it from the tagline alone. However, there will be 2 hints available to you for each of these taglines. So for each hint that you ask for, the tagline will be worth 1 fewer point. Movie one today is from 1982. IMDb calls this an action-adventure thriller holiday movie. If you've listened to our Christmas episode, then you know that the term holiday can be thrown around quite easily. The tagline is, he just wanted something to eat. He just wanted something to eat. Do you know the movie that that tagline is from? It's worth 3 points if you get it right now.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm only like 80% sure, but I think I'm going to go for it anyway. Is it Rambo? Or is it First Blood?
Pardon? What did you say? Judges?
Is it First Blood and not First? Rambo 1? That's not a movie.
First Blood is correct. Well done.
Whew. That was a close one, Zabe.
Yeah, it was. So for those listening at home, here's your 2-point clue if you want to score yourself. And we're going to use the honor system here. The IMDb supporting credits include... David L. Crowley as Shingleton, David Peterson as Trooper, and David Caruso as Mitch. Yeah, that David Caruso. Your 1-point hint is, an alternative tagline is, one war against one man. Here's your fun fact. The movie is adapted from author David Morrell's novel and went through 26 drafts before finally being written by Sylvester Stallone. The first cut of the movie was about 3 hours long, and everyone agreed that it was awful. And I mean everyone.
I think it stunk.
After being heavily edited, we ended up with this 93-minute action masterpiece. This is the one occasion when the movie is better than the book. No need to take my word for it, because author David Morrell said it himself. It's quite telling. The movie version takes an introspective approach to the character as Rambo struggles adapting to living in a world not at war. But in the book, he is a crazed killer on a bloody and violent one-man war. Interestingly, Al Pacino was considered for the role of John Rambo, but turned it down when his request that Rambo be more of a madman was rejected.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Hoo-ah!
Here's movie two. It's from 1987. IMDb calls this a coming-of-age drama teen romance. The tagline is, dancing to the beat of their hearts. Dancing to the beat of their heart.
Dancing to the beat of their hearts. Mm-hmm. Can I hear the IMDb category one more time?
It's a coming-of-age drama teen romance. I think teen romance needs to be in quotes as well. Kind of.
Okay. I'll take a hint.
You want to take a hint or a lifeline?
Ooh, you know what? I'll take a lifeline.
Whatever.
We're going to call to the live studio audience. Does anybody raise your hand if you have a clue, if you think you know what this is? Everyone's shaking their head. All right. You want your hints or do you want to go to some random lifeline of someone who doesn't clearly know?
All right. I think I will take the hint.
All right. Your 2-point clue is supporting IMDb credits include Jonathan Reed as hotel guest / dancer, Karen Caster as just dancer, and 10 other names as other kinds of dancer. Don't roll your eyes. That was a good hint.
No, that was fine. It just didn't narrow it down between the two movies that I thought it might be. Can I see if there are any hands after that?
Go back to the well. Anyone? Keith might know. You can't give away the title. You can't give away the answer. You have to give her a clue.
Okay. So when you're at the video rental and you're looking for movies to rent, don't leave this one in the corner.
Excellent. It's Dirty Dancing.
Is it Dirty Dancing? That is correct. Well done. That's a good hint, Keith.
Yeah, that was awesome.
For those of you playing at home, your 1-point hint was an alternative tagline for this is first dance, first love, the time of your life. Here's your fun fact. On IMDb, there are 10 credits listed as Dirty Dancers, but only one for Dancer, which was Karen Caster. We're guessing that she was originally listed with the other Dirty Dancers, but got offended by the label, and Karen asked to speak to the manager of IMDb and threatened to have all of her friends on the PTA stop using their website unless her credit was changed to just Dancer. Way to go, Karen.
Is that where that comes from? No, I'm just kidding. That's funny, though.
Patient zero, Karen. Okay, here we go. And finally, movie three is from 1989. IMDb calls this a teen buddy comedy quest movie. I don't remember seeing this genre section in the Blockbuster labeled quest before, but I guess it's a new genre now. The tagline is, the funniest comedy in the history of history.
That's got to be Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
So remember, if you get it wrong, you don't get the other clues.
Yeah. Right?
So if you're not sure, sounds like you're guessing. If you're not sure, you may want to take the hint. Don't let me tell you what to do. This should not be divined as some sort of insight of whether you got it right or wrong. But I'm just letting you know your options.
I think you're psyching me out, Zabe. I think it's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Of course it's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Well done. The 2-point clue for this one was supporting roles on IMDb credits. James Bobich as John the Surf and Dusty O.D. as Old West Ugly Dude. How would you like to have that credit? Yeah. Mom, Dad, I'm on IMDb. I'm Old West Ugly Dude.
Don't worry about it. It's on there. It's real. It's legit.
Then they look at you and they go, oh, yeah, I can see it. Your 1-point hint was, an alternative tagline was, history is about to be rewritten by two guys who can't spell. Okay, here we go. Here's your fun fact. Let's see how bad I screw this up. The German version of this movie has gained cult status in Germany. Some of the German-dubbed catchphrases became so popular that they became part of the actual German language itself. It is credited with coining such words as Hoshi for dude and Granatenstark for excellent. Please excuse my poor German accent. The only German I know is from what I picked up by watching movies about World War II. The quote, be excellent to each other, is replaced by the more philosophical line, which translates as colorful and excellent is the being, or in German, Blut und Granatenstark ist das Wasser, mein Führer. Additionally, some scenes contained alternative dialogue, such as the classic 69 scene that the judges love so much on the show. In the German version, however, they ask, if you guys are really us, which famous celebrity are we thinking about right now? And the future selves reply with, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Hoshi. It has a totally different deal to it. Before we start round two, let's get a scoring update from Suzanne.
So far, Robin is killing it with 8 points.
8 out of a possible 9. Well done, Robin.
Let's go.
Let's take another listen to the power struggle before we start round two.
Actually, it's pronounced Miliwake, which is Algonquin for the good land.
I was not aware of that.
Follow my nose. It always knows.
Toothpick.
Round two is our trivia round. Each complete correct answer is worth 2 points. If you think you can convince the judges into giving you partial credit for your answer, you can award yourself one pity point for your partial correct response. We'll use the honor system here. Good luck. Question one is titled, I didn't know you were called Dennis. In the 1975 comedy classic film Monty Python and the Holy Grail, all of the Pythons played several characters in the same film, a trend they would go on to use in all of their movies. They were playing several characters in the same film before playing several characters in the same film was cool. Suck it, Eddie Murphy. Here's your question. Which of the following was not a character mentioned in the movie Monty Python and the Holy Grail? Is it A, Robin, B, Roger, C, Patsy, D, Francois Pierre, or E, Sir not appearing in this film?
Oh, man. It's got to be Roger or Patsy. I don't remember a Patsy, but I don't really remember a Roger either. But I don't want to use my lifeline yet. I think I'm going to go with Patsy.
Patsy? Judges, is Patsy correct? I'm sorry. This time, Patsy was not a Patsy. The correct answer is D, Francois Pierre. While there are several guards in the movie with outrageous French accents, the odds are at least one of them did have the name either Francois, Pierre, or likely both. They are listed, however, in the credits as taunting French guard. Sir not appearing in this film was an extremely peripheral knight in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. In real life, he was played by Michael Palin's son, Tom. Eric Idle played Roger the Shrubber, as well as Sir Robin, whose official credit was Sir Robin, the not quite so brave as Sir Lancelot. And finally, Patsy was the servant of King Arthur, banging the two coconuts together, portrayed by Terry Gilliam.
Right? Oh my gosh, of course.
Yeah, he didn't say much during the entire film, except for the scene where he points out that Camelot is actually a cardboard model.
It's only a model.
Question two is entitled, Norm? Question mark. After premiering in 1982, Cheers spent most of its run on NBC's Thursday night must-see TV lineup. Widely watched, its series finale in 1993 became the most-watched single television episode of the 1990s, believe it or not. Although it was almost canceled during season one, it soon became a ratings juggernaut, earning a top 10 rating during 8 of its 11 seasons. And season 9, it was ranked as the number one show in America. All that to say, we all watch the show where everybody knows your name. Your question will put that last bit to the test. Here's your question. What is the first name of Cheers' most loyal and well-known customer who gets a shout-out every time they enter the bar? Be careful. The answer might surprise you. Is it A, Hillary, B, Norma, C, Alice, D, Norm, or is it E, Robin? First name of the Cheers' most loyal and well-known customer.
Well, Norm gets the shout-out, but then Diane always says Norman. And I don't know if that's because she's pretentious or because that's his full name. But
you don't know whether she's pretentious or not?
Well, no, no, I know she's pretentious, obviously. Okay. She's the best, but she's also very pretentious. Okay. Oh.
You want to hear it one more time?
Can I please?
Yes, of course. Is it A, Hillary, B, Norma, C, Alice, D, Norm, or is it E, Robin?
I don't remember it being established that his name was Norma. So I'm going to go with Norm.
Well, I kind of feel bad because that's incorrect.
I'm going to remember as soon as you say it.
Of course you are. We all know him better as Norm. We all find out that his real first name was Hillary. So option A is the correct answer. It's a bit of a nuanced question. Sorry, Robin.
Oh, that's okay.
In the episode, Norm's wife Vera lost her job at the travel agency and Rebecca helped her get a job at Melville's as a hat check girl. Rebecca said Vera was working out very well. and that she had told some funny stories about Norm.
Hey, why didn't you ever tell us that your real first name was Hillary?
Oh, who cares about that?
Isn't that a girl's name?
Hillary was my grandfather's name, and he once killed a man who laughed at him.
Boy, he just upped and killed somebody for laughing at his name?
Not exactly. He was a surgeon. He sort of botched an operation.
Hillary Norman Peterson is just another in a long line of men in history who have names normally reserved for women. Personally, as a man, I think that it is an honor to share a name used by so many women, and there's nothing to be defensive about. I have felt this way ever since it was pointed out to me that Zabe is clearly a derivative of Elizabeth because you can't spell it without Z-A-B-E.
Norm, you don't have to be defensive. I think Hillary is a very masculine name. In fact, I think you ought to have it monogrammed on your purse.
Question three is called, If He Dies, He Dies. In the 1985 film Rocky IV, we see Rocky Balboa take on the terrible Ivan Drago in a boxing match, which, spoiler alert, Rocky not only beats Drago, but he also wins the Cold War single-handedly for the United States versus the Soviet Union and brings about a lasting peace between these two nations for generations to come, while wishing his son Merry Christmas as he is being looked after by his robot nanny a half a world away. I mean, how else would you describe that movie?
I mean, that's certainly the movie my parents described before they showed it to me.
That's exactly what happened. Rocky's motivation for climbing back into the ring comes in the form of revenge for the death of his good friend Apollo Creed at the hands of the giant Russian. Rocky feels remorse for not stopping the fight that led to Apollo's death in an exhibition that he had versus Drago. Here's your question. Where was the fight held that resulted in Apollo Creed's death? Is it A, in the Sports Pavilion at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas? B, in the Jubilee Showroom at MGM Grand in Las Vegas? C, in the HyperX Arena at the Luxor in Las Vegas? D, in the Gladys Knight Theater at the Tropicana in Las Vegas? Or is it E, in line at the all-you-can-eat seafood buffet at Circus Circus Hotel and Casino?
Oh, classic. Okay, I keep thinking I can do it when I'm down to like two or three. So I think I want to use my whatever lifeline for this round.
Whatever.
Okay, well then let's...
Paul, you want to give me the hint?
Roar!
I love it.
It's an audio clue.
All right. I think it was the MGM one.
That is a fantastic use of your lifeline because that's correct. Here's your fun fact. During a practice round, Sylvester Stallone told Dolph Lundgren to, quote, really go at it like normal boxers do for 15 seconds. He ended up punching Sylvester Stallone in the chest and ended up with a swelling in his bradycardia sac around his heart and had to be rushed to the emergency room by plane. His insurance company thought he was faking it, saying that his injuries looked more consistent with a head-on collision of a car crash when the steering wheel hits you in the chest. Stallone replied,
Have you seen Dolph Lundgren? That's the truck! That's the steering wheel! That's a head-on collision! That's a terrible impression!
His insurance company honored the claim soon after that. Here's your question number four, which is called, Watch out, kid! But in German, I guess. How would you say watch out, kid, in German? I wonder. This question is brought to us by our Patreon supporter, Lori, and her show, Accelerated Culture Podcast. She had a recent episode that came out about the band U2 and their 1992 album, Achtung Baby, which is German for Watch Out Kid. The album was widely viewed as a departure and reinvention of the band's sound and style. You can listen to her episode and she can tell you way more about it than I can. But during this reinvention, they had to come up with the perfect title for the album. They landed on Achtung Baby. But they had several other choices in mind as well. Robin, your question is, which of the following was a real title option that the band almost went with instead of Achtung Baby? Now, I bet you really wish you had your whatever lifeline because we have the person in the studio audience that essentially wrote this question.
Oh, yeah, I do wish that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But you got the point, so you can't regret your other
choice,
right?
No, yeah.
You're going to guess the seafood buffet. I know it.
Almost definitely.
Here's your options. Is it A, even worse than the real thing? B, who's going to ride your wild horseradish? C, one egg omelet? D, mysterious polka? Or is it E, 69? Which one did they almost really use?
No 69 Q?
That's strange, isn't it?
That is strange. That's always
Judges, what's up?
I think I'm going to say 69, dudes.
Although most of these titles sound like parodies of U2 songs by Weird Al, the correct answer is E, 69.
69, dudes!
Well done, Lori, and well done, Robin. Good job. Alternative titles considered for Octoon Baby included Zoo Station, 69, and Man. Adam was also considered for the title, but they had to just settle for the cover art that featured the U2 bass player Adam Clayton's nude photo on the cover instead. Weird Al has done two parodies of U2 songs, in case anyone was wondering. He did a parody of Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me, called Cavity Search, and he also did a lesser-known parody of the U2 song Numb, off of the Zooropa album, called Green Eggs and Ham, where Al just kind of reads the Dr. Seuss classic set to the music of the song Numb.
I do not like them in a box. I do not like them with a fox. I will not eat them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam. I am.
Green eggs and ham.
Okay, that's enough.
Suzanne, will you please give us a scoring update?
Robin got 2 extra points in that round for a total of 10.
For this final question of the round, Robin has requested that we play the mini game called Name That Otter Tune.
Name that otter tune. The judges are terrible performers. Name that otter tune with all those favorite dresses.
For this question, the judges will perform part of a popular Gen X song, and you need to give me the title and artist that the song is from. The catch here is that the judges are terrible performers, and they will also be used in an awful fake British accent to make things sound more silly and confusing than are necessary. We'll give you the hint to try and help you by letting you know the year that the song was released, as well as the genre that the song belongs to, according to the internet.
That last bit may or may not help you.
So anything can still happen.
Here we go. Song number 1 is a song from 1984. It is listed as a synth pop stadium rock pop song. Here's the judge's rendition, and then you need to tell me the artist and title of the song. Listen closely.
Let's hope you never leave, old friend. Like all good things, on you, we depend. So stick around, cause we might miss you. When we grow tired of all this visual. You had your time, you had the power. You've yet to have your finest hour.
Cassandra knows it. I see it in her eyes.
Oh, I shouldn't use it this early. But I think I want to use my whatever lifeline.
Whatever.
Do you have a hit for me, Cassandra?
Okay. Baby Talk by a Royal.
Baby Talk by a Royal. Okay. Let's see.
That's a hit to the song and the artist.
That's a fantastic clue. Well done.
Okay. The artist is Prince. I am not sure what the title is. And so I am going to guess, Baby Talk. I'm going to guess Purple Rain by Prince.
It was Darling Nikki, but no, that is incorrect. That is incorrect. Let's listen to the reveal.
Let's hope you never leave a friend.
Robin, I was going to cut it off early, but I just wanted to let it all sink in so you had time to realize your mistake.
Yes.
That was indeed Radio Gaga by Queen. You went with the wrong royal, Robin. So sorry.
Oh, no. Cassandra had a great hint. I'm laughing so hard. I heard it and was like, no, the other one.
But when you think of royals, I mean, it's hard to not first think of Prince. So I hear you.
Totally. Yeah. Even though Queen is awesome. Anyway,
well said. The fun fact here is Radio Gaga is a nostalgic defense of radio and a commentary on television overtaking radio's popularity and importance. It also addressed the advent of music video and MTV seemingly to be taking over and making the visual side of music to be more important than the music itself. Ironically, a year later, the video of the song was nominated for an MTV Music Video Award for Best Art Direction, but did not win. In case anyone was wondering, it lost to Herbie Hancock's song and video for Rocket, which video we all remember contained the stuff of nightmares. Song 2 is listed as a new wave song that came out originally in 1981, but became a much bigger hit when it was re-recorded in 1986. Artist and title of this song right here.
The one who insists he was first in the line is the last to remember her name. He's walking around in this dress that she wore. She is gone, but the joke's the same.
That is Pretty in Pink by the Psychedelic Furs.
Let's see if she's right.
The one who insists he was first in the line is the last to remember her name. He's walking around in this dress that she wore. She's gone, but the joke's the same.
As we said, there are two versions of the song that charted in the UK. The original version of Pretty in Pink peaked at number 43 in the UK singles chart. However, in 1986, it reached number 18 in the UK after the movie was released and shockingly missed the top 40 in the United States, peaking at number 41. This once again proves that our friends in Britain have much better taste in music than we do here in the States. Judges, is there some kind of mistake in the script here? I thought we only made fun of our two British listeners. Okay, I'm being told that we've switched it up and we're now trying to compliment our two British listeners in hopes of them contacting the show and letting us know how the show translates to them across the pond. So, pretty please, with pumpkin juice on top, reach out to us, mate. Song three, our final song in the round, is from 1970. And belongs to the rock, glam rock, blues rock, folk rock genre, according to Google. I can't imagine that helps anyone, but let's give the judge's version a quick listen.
Although I wasn't there, he said I was his friend, which came as some surprise. I spoke into his eyes. I thought you died alone, a long, long time ago. Oh no, not me. I never lost control.
That is,
Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure you think about this.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Man Who Sold the World by David Bowie, which was later covered by Kurt Cobain, which is also, I suppose, in the Gen X. I'm going to go with David Bowie.
Okay. Let's see if she's right.
Although I wasn't there, he said I was his friend, which gave us some surprise. I spoke into his eyes. I thought you died alone, a long, long time ago. I know, not me. I never lost control. Your face to face with the man who sold.
So, judges, are we going to award points if you said this song was by Nirvana, like she kind of hinted at? Yeah, I know Nirvana didn't write this song, but Bowie put this song out in 1970. The oldest Gen Xers were only 5 years old, and I don't think Bowie was writing music for toddlers back then. So if you don't take into account that Nirvana was performing this song back in 1995, then it makes it more of a boomer song than a Gen X song. So tell me, is this either not a Gen X song because of the release date, or do we give credit here for Nirvana to any of our listeners since they made it popular for most Gen Xers during the timeline? I mean, can you give me one single reason why we should ignore Nirvana's connection to this song and only do it for David Bowie?
That is a David Bowie song.
Okay. I stand corrected. Bowie it is. We're going to take another listen to the Power Struggle clip before we start round three. But before we do that, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor.
They Stay tuned. Cheers will be right back.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
If you're enjoying the show so far, please consider giving us a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from, and subscribing for future episodes. The only way a show like this gets anywhere in the podcasting world is by positive reviews and word of mouth among friends. So, if you're inclined, please help spread the word about the podcast and share it with that special Gen Xer in your life. We'd love to have you as a friend of the show. Thanks so much.
So who's gonna save our generation? Are you gonna save our generation? Who will save Generation X?
So we're going to listen to the power struggle. Suzanne, can you please give us a scoring update before we do that?
Great job, Robin. She picked up 4 points, bringing us to a total of 14.
Well done, Robin.
The power
struggle.
Actually, it's pronounced Milwaukee, which is Algonquin for the good land.
I was not aware of that.
Follow my nose. It always knows.
Don't pick.
Round three.
Round three today is a game we save for our live episodes, and here's how we play it. Just about everything we talk about here on the show is from 30 to 55 years old, and sometimes it's difficult to remember details about that kind of stuff from so long ago. In this game, members of our live studio audience will give you a poorly written description about something from Generation X, and you need to tell me what they're talking about. We call this game, What You Talking About?
What You Talking About?
Robin.
You will score 2 points for a complete correct answer, but the judge's pity point rule is available should you need it. We have pre-selected some members of our live studio audience for you to pick from. So Robin, when you're ready, pick the member you want and ask them, What You Talking About?
What you talking about, Lori?
Two retail employees close up shop to attend a funeral while a woman engages in necrophilia in the back room.
Okay, that's a good one. Is that Clerks?
Is it Clerks?
It
well
is.
Well done.
Hey, try not to suck any dick on the way through the parking lot. Hey, you, get back here.
Yes.
That's 2 points.
What you talking about, Chris?
In a world where a future star-studded cast, including the characters Bob Hughes, Daniel LaRusso, and James Dalton, rumble with the soap, they find time to read some Margaret Mitchell.
Oh, man. Oh, gall. I am karate kid?
What you talking about, Chris?
So the three characters, Bob Hughes was Matt Damon in Drugstore Cowboy. Daniel LaRusso was Machio from The Karate Kid. And Patrick Swayze was, of course, James Dalton in Roadhouse.
Do you enjoy pain?
Pain don't hurt.
That help?
Okay, I'm going to, with the cast, I'm going to say Outsiders.
There you go.
Let's go. I don't think I get it, but I do.
No.
Yeah. But I enjoy that. Yeah.
Nice.
What you talking about, Salem?
Okay, is Salem in the house? No Salem? Okay, I'll read Salem. Awesome. And I'll try and read it like he does. Go ahead.
Okay. A down on his luck dog worker gets his ass kicked and falls in love.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Gets his ass kicked and falls in love. Is that Rocky?
It is Rocky. Well done. That's two more points.
What you talking about, Darren?
A reclusive teenager almost causes nuclear Armageddon because he didn't want to play a classic board game.
Is that War Games?
It is War Games.
How about a nice game of chess?
Well done. Two more points. You're racking them up, Robin.
I love this game. What you talking about, Michael?
Okay. A man with an impressive mustache and a snowman go for an illegal beer run. Along the way, our mustachioed antihero picks up a hitchhiking runaway bride who brings unwanted attention from the law in a cat and mouse chase across the country.
Wow.
Some of these are more difficult than others.
That's amazing. Wait, can you read it one more time, though?
Yes. A man with an impressive mustache and a snowman go for an illegal beer run. Along the way, our mustachioed antihero picks up a hitchhiking runaway bride who brings unwanted attention from the law in a cat and mouse chase across the country.
Oh my God, I have no idea. Okay, I'm going to say Spaceballs.
Good guess.
Did Marf have the impressive mustache?
He didn't. It was Bill Pullman.
Does anyone else know it in the live studio audience?
I do. Smokey and the Bandit.
That's correct.
Well done. That's 2 points for Darren.
I'm a truck driver. Of course I know that.
What you talking about, Mitch?
All right. This is a romantic comedy from 1995. A man missing a testicle wakes up from a coma to find his would-be fiance in love with his brother.
Oh, classic. That's got to be While You Were Sleeping.
Well done.
Correct.
Yeah, the one testicle was hilarious. What you talking about, PaulJPowers.com?
PaulJPowers.com.
All right, here you go. Natives have a heart for glowing rocks.
Natives have a heart for glowing rocks. Oh my gosh. Why does that sound extremely familiar? Aliens, you said, have a heart for glowing rocks?
Natives.
Natives have a heart for glowing rocks. Glowing rocks. Oh no.
So, Robin, just let you know, the assignment was to make a very poorly written description of a movie. And I think PaulJPowers.com really came to bat here.
Really nailed it.
Yeah.
Is it no fun if I use my whatever lifeline? Lori, did you already give me a hint? I don't remember. Okay, then I would like to get a hint from Lori.
Whatever.
Kali Ma.
Oh. Kali Ma. That. Oh.
Kali Ma. Kali Ma Shakti De.
Temple of Doom. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Oh, amazing. Thank you, Lori.
It's a great hint, too.
Yeah, no, that was great hint and really great clue. Wow, amazing. What you talking about, Tyler?
All right. A preteen is forced to find work after being kicked out of the house by his mother. Despite finding financial success and romance, his only desire is to return home.
Is it? I haven't seen this movie enough to remember if this is it. Is it Big?
Yeah. It is Big.
It is Big. Well done. Cassandra, for the band Light Shadows.
What you talking about,
Cassandra?
A young girl does some growing up while playing with puppets and trying to save her annoying brother from a singing king who has a thing for Escher-like design.
Oh, just one of my absolute favorites. That's got to be Labyrinth.
Thanks for nothing, Hogwart.
Now it's Hoggle.
Well done.
Wow, huge fan of this nice. Game, guys. This was awesome. What you talking about, Keith?
I'll tell you what I'm talking about. We've got here some great clues, and Robin's just cleaning up. All right. So our heroine is technically a Disney princess who wakes up from a long nap to discover that she must relive her nightmare in a dark place. She reluctantly joins a team to investigate and engages in an epic battle with an evil queen.
Wow. Technically a Disney princess, you're saying? Can I hear it one more time?
Yes. So our heroine, and don't get hung up on this part. Just listen to the rest. Yeah. Our heroine is technically
easy on her teeth.
It's not a hint. I'm just saying don't over
easy on her.
Don't over-index on the, you know, I know Zave likes to do that. Don't over-index on the Disney princess, but maybe she is, maybe she isn't. But our heroine wakes up from a long nap to discover that she must relive her nightmare in a dark place. She reluctantly joins a team to investigate and engages in an epic battle with an evil queen.
An evil queen. Wow, this one's really good because like with Paul J. Powers, I was like, it sounds so familiar and I can't, it's like just right on the tip of my tongue. Okay, I am gonna guess, because I just don't think I know it. Oh, it's like almost the fifth element. Is it fifth element?
Fourth and a half element?
Fourth and a half element, yeah. Oh.
That is incorrect. Does anyone else know this one? Chris, you got it?
I don't know for sure, but it sounds like Ghostbusters.
Incorrect.
No? Oh, that's a good
one. Anyone else? Ricky had a look on his face. I feel like Ricky knows it.
My guess was Dark Crystal.
The Dark Crystal is incorrect as well. There's no evil queen in Dark Crystal. Anyone else? Wow, I'm surprised. Keith, what's the correct answer?
Well, I'm just loving. So there is a Ghostbusters connection because one of the characters or actors is in it. So in 1986, Fox Studios released a sequel to Alien called Aliens, and our heroine Ripley. Yeah, woke up from a long nap. So here's the deal. Like, Disney bought Fox in 2019. So does that make Ripley a Disney princess?
I think it might. No, honestly, when you said don't put too much stock in it, I was like, okay, maybe a Fox property.
Is her father a king? Maybe. We don't know.
It's Sigourney Weaver, right? Like, she's royalty.
Sure. Okay. Let's go to our final listen to the power struggle, and then we're going to get your answers, Robin.
Actually, it's pronounced Miliwake, which is Algonquin for the good land.
I was not aware of that.
Follow my nose. It always knows.
Don't pick.
All right, Robin. 1 through 5. Let's hear what you got.
Okay. Number one is Pink Panther. The second one, I swear I've heard, and I just cannot figure out where I've heard it from. And so but I don't know what 3 is. So I want to use my lifeline for that. So for 2, I'm going to guess Breakfast Club. And then I want to use my lifeline, even though it doesn't seem super point, like a point to it at this point. But I want to use my whatever lifeline on number 3.
Whatever.
Who wants to be your lifeline for the third clip?
Oh, I see Tyler. I don't think I've taken a Tyler hint yet.
This would be a commercial for something.
So all you got to think of all the commercials you've ever seen.
And no, commercial for something edible.
Commercial for something edible. Okay. Okay. I'm going to guess.
How about this hint? It's for a cereal toucan.
Oh, all right. Fruit Loops.
Why don't you just say it's for Fruit Loops?
Does that really give it away? You guys think?
You stupid, ignorant son of a bitch, dumb bastard! I met some dumb bastards in my time, but you outdo them all.
All right. Okay. I mean, you did.
4, I am not sure what it's from. It kind of sounds like it might be from a variety show, so I went with Saturday Night Live. I'm not sure who or what's happening. And then 5 is Hazy Shade of Winter, and I don't think you need the artist, I hope.
I don't, because I'll just put you out of your misery right now.
Yeah.
Those are incorrect answers. But I want to know from our live studio audience, does anyone else know? Does anyone know for sure they got them all? Okay, so I see Mitch, I see Keith. Okay.
I just can't get number 4. I can't even comprehend what the clip is.
That's the one I'm stuck on.
That's what everyone's saying in the comments.
I can't hear it. I can't hear enough of it to even think about it.
That's all you need to know if you know it.
That was the easiest, one to get.
It's one of those things where if you know it, you know it.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then you absolutely do not.
It's probably a 90s TV show that I wasn't watching TV when I was in college.
It was a 90s movie.
It's a movie.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
This makes me so happy because when I listen to this podcast, I am like, oh, for all of them on the power struggle. So this one I nailed. Number one is Pink Panther. You were correct. Number two is the famous scene with Alice Cooper and Wayne from Wayne's World when they go backstage with their backstage passes. And how they hang out. They hang out and they have intellectual conversations. Number two is correct. The Fruit Loops commercial. Follow your nose. It always knows. Number four, you guys, Nobody's Girlfriend made you sit through this horrible movie. Cutting Edge. It was awful. But we watched
Tread
it.
No.
You tell me. There is nothing good about that movie. But that is my own opinion. So,
and nostalgia, then, all the way nostalgia.
It's true. It's make your kids watch it and make them.
I haven't even heard of the film.
Mitch nailed it by saying your girlfriend dragged you to this movie.
Yes, 100%. That is correct. Yeah.
I'm so happy you've included that fun fact, Mitch.
So jealous of the people that haven't heard of the film.
Me too. Number five, The Bangles, of course.
And the title?
Oh, Hazy Shade of Winter.
Well done, Mitch. You've just been bumped up a whole letter grade.
That's the first one I've ever gotten.
Nice.
Amazing. Well done.
I'm very proud of myself right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm proud of you. You know that. I hope you do.
Robin, first of all, thank you so much for lending your time and talents to the podcast. Did you have a good time here on the show?
Oh, I had a blast. I'm so glad I got to do this with a live audience, too.
How different was it than you thought it might be? Did it live up to your expectations, or you've been on the other side for so long?
You know, it absolutely did, because when I haven't written the questions, if I know the answer, I'm definitely on the other side of the camera yelling the answer on mute. So it's fun to be on the other side. And then I'm laughing because I know people complain about the auto-tune one. I love the auto-tune one, but being on the hotspot with the auto-tune one was scary.
Yeah.
It's amazing how different it makes the song sound.
Well, is there anything you'd like to plug or promote, or any shout outs you'd like to give before we hand out the ranks for the quiz?
Well, Zabe, I'd like to give a quick shout out to you because you made this awesome thing that I get to be a part of, and I feel very grateful for that. And I know everyone here on the Zoom call is excited they get to be a part of it too. I know a lot of you have been on the show yourselves, and I hope you all join me in just giving this guy a big round of applause virtually or otherwise, because we just love this podcast and everything you do, Zabe, and the work you put into it is just so appreciated. I hope you know.
Thanks, Ra. I was not prepared for that. Getting a little emotional right now. Thank you. I'm going to have to move on quickly before I start crying. Thank you, Robin. I appreciate that. Very nice.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right, everybody. Do you remember your score? There were 43 points available, but let's see how well you did and get their grades and ranks. Suzanne, will you please give us Robin's final score?
Robin's final score was 28 points, amazingly. And that was so high. We can't force anyone to give up their Gen X card for not beating her, because she absolutely killed it.
Agreed.
Thank you, guys. I did a lot better than I thought I would.
If you're playing against our special guests and scored less than 28 points, then you let this millennial beat you, and Suzanne's going to let you off the hook, so I'm not going to say my next part of the script. However, there's really no shame to lose to Robin, so chin up. This episode, we're using the characters from the TV show Cheers scoring system to grade the quiz. This one is really hard to rank. Cheers is a show that is filled with both flawed and polarizing characters. Your mileage may vary on what you think about this one. Let's see if we got it right or not. But let's go to the ranks and find out. A score of 39 to 43 points is the grade of an A. And when it comes to Cheers, it was hard to find a single character that best represents an A. We thought about it long and hard, and your A gives you the rank of the literal bar from Cheers itself. Yeah, that might seem like a bit of a cop-out, but who else can carry this mantle? Our characters on the show are all purposefully flawed so that we can see ourselves in them as we watch them from our couch at home every Thursday night. Cheers was the church for this quirky yet lovable crew. And through the ups and downs of their lives, the one thing that was stable for each of them was the place where everybody knows their name. So for being that rock steady and comforting place that we all wish we could go to, we give the bar from Cheers the most successful grade of an A. And to you too, for being that rock steady part on this quiz. Congrats, you're doing your part to save Generation X. Well done. A score of 35 to 38 points is enough for a B, and the rank of the off-and-on owner of the bar, Sam Mayday Malone. The king of the flawed characters was the former Red Sox relief pitcher, former alcoholic, former half of the ultimate will they or won't they couple of the 1980s. Sam had a part to play in the lives of everyone who walked down the stairs to Cheers. Now, I don't want to say that Sam had zero character arc in the 11 seasons of Cheers, but he was pretty much the same guy at the start of the series as he was at the end. Stability is great, but when you're a stable womanizer playboy, then it gets problematic and unworthy of the top grade of the quiz. So Sam only earns a B on today's quiz. I mean, Gen X does not go for these kinds of ladies' man heroes that tries to hook up with a new chick every episode. Unless it's Fonzie. Or, you know, Captain Kirk. Or Larry from Three's Company. Or James Bond. But come on, it's James Bond. What do you want? And, you know, now that I'm kind of thinking about it, it seems like Sonny Crockett was always hooking up on that show too, on Miami Vice. And Jerry Seinfeld. I mean, Jerry, he was getting ladies on the show and off the show. So, I mean, I guess I got to take it back. I guess Gen X did love these kinds of stuff after all.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you about Rosa Coletti?
A score of 30 to 34 points is enough for a C, and that gives you the rank of Cheers' most lovable and hateable customers of Cliff and Norm. Talk about your flawed, lovable losers. They sit around all day talking junk on each other and whomever walks into the bar. Norm is especially troubling because he spends most of his time at the bar to just avoid going home to his wife. Yikes. Still, they made us all laugh, and underneath it all, they still had good hearts and intentions. Besides, I'm pretty sure Cliff would fit right in with the rest of the trivia-loving judges here, so we have to give Cliff and Hillary at least a C on today's ranks.
Afternoon, everybody.
Oh, Norm!
Norman?
How's life treating you, Norm?
I got just ran over its dog.
Score of 26 to 29 points is enough for a D, and the rank of Rebecca Howe, a.k.a. Pick and Save Diane Chambers. Just like they replaced Coach with Woody, they also did the same when Rebecca came around after Shelley Long left the show. It was a rough ride at first, accepting her as a replacement for that role in the show. After a while, we grew to accept her in the Church of Cheers. She was just passable enough to keep the show going, so we're going to give her just the passable rank of a D on the quiz. I mean, hey, she was a replacement for another woman on the show, so feel free to replace her as well with Carla here if you want. It's only fair.
Oh, Carla, those are gorgeous. Who sent them?
What do you think?
Oh, isn't Eddie sweet? Oh, why can't Mormons send flowers?
I didn't know Mormons couldn't send flowers.
I said Mormon, not Mormons.
Why can't Mormons send flowers?
They can.
And what are you talking about?
I just wish someone would send me some roses.
Well, why does it have to be a Mormon?
Oh!
And finally, if you scored 25 or less, well, that's a failing grade, I'm afraid. As is your rank of those random dudes in the background at the bar. You know who I'm talking about, right? Those guys that are only there to make the place not look empty, and every now and then they react to the jokes told by the regulars. These are the guys that would cheer on Sam when he talks about his latest conquest, or to be insulted by Carla, or just to yell, Norm, when he walked into the bar. Every once in a while, they'd give a line to one of these guys to say on the show, and it would leave us all thinking the same thing. Who is this dude? Why is he talking like he's everyone else's buddy? Who are you, bro? Pipe down and have your drink. Frasier is about to say something snooty. So for being at a place where everybody knows your name and not having a single person know your name is an epic failure, as is your grade of an F for not getting more than 25 points here on the quiz. Try again on the next episode of The Home Game and see if you can get a passing grade. Once again, I'd like to give a shout out to our special guest, Robin, as well as our live studio audience for being on this episode of the show and celebrating our 4-year anniversary. On a personal note, it continues to be a life-changing experience bringing this podcast to all of you for the last 4 years. I've learned a lot about our shared experiences of the past while making the show, but what has made the biggest impact on my life, all the new friends that I've made in the studio audience, all of you listening, that really added something I never could have anticipated to my life when starting this. Most of tonight's live studio audience is made up of the people I've become friends with because of this podcast, and my heart is full knowing that I can now call you not just listeners, but also my friends. I love you guys. Thanks for the wonderful last 4 years. And here's to look forward to making more episodes that you might especially like.
Especially like.
We hope you've enjoyed playing this episode of The Home Game, and we'll post your score in the comments section or review section of whatever platform you listen to the show on. you're interested in supporting the show and giving us a little 4-year anniversary present, we have a Patreon account set up for those who would like to take advantage of the special offers we reward by giving out to those who become Patreon subscribers. However, if you just want to send some appreciation for what we're trying to do here, we also offer our Venmo account, and you can send it to Who Will Save Gen X if you're so inclined. Detailed information is available in the show notes for this episode for both of these ways to send some love to the show. If you have any questions, comments, a shout out, or would like to sign up to become a guest on the show, you can email me at whowillsavegenx@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your feedback and invite you to become a friend of the show. Well, that's it for this edition of The Home Game. Thanks so much to everyone who's listening, wherever you are. We'll be back with a regular version of the podcast in the next episode, where we will once again ask the question, who will save Generation X? Later.
Ooh, that's Vera.
That's Lilith.
Probably Kelly.
Could be
my kid.
Say, you know what? Wait, don't answer it. Just let whoever it is think that we're on our way.
Which is exactly where we should be.
Thanks for staying, guys.
Same to you.
Wouldn't be the same without you, Sam.
You know, I still keep thinking, though, you know, I want some kind of change in my life.
You know something? I hate change. I mean, you know, every day you wake up, something's changed. Everything's just changing so fast. I like things to stay the way they are, you know? I like things you can count on.
You know, you just gave me something to think about, Woody.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sam. I hate it when somebody does that to me.
Bye, Woody.
Night, Sam.
Sammy, I didn't want to say this in front of the others, but you know what I think the most important thing in life is? It's love. I don't think it matters what you love, Sammy. Could be a person, could be a thing. As long as you love it totally, completely, without judgment. You can never be unfaithful to your one true love. You always come back to her. Who is that? Think about it, Sam. Well, I tell you, I'm the luckiest son of a bitch on earth.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.